Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Kate Show. My name is Kate, and on episode 256 of The Kate Show podcast, I'm getting personal. I'm sharing tips and hacks and things that you might want to know if you are a mother and an entrepreneur, or if you're just trying to be an adult and be an entrepreneur at the same time. I mean, those two things are hard enough, right? Now, let me start this off with a story. Okay, back in the beginning of my business, I thought that I could have it all. I thought that I could run a business and be a supportive spouse and keep my kids with me 24/7, yes, even while I was working, until they started preschool. And somehow amongst all of that, I was going to be able to squeeze in enough self-care to help me remember who I was apart from all those roles. Needless to say, I was incredibly naive. For the first few years of becoming a mom and having an already established business, I thought, I'll just work while the kids take a nap or while they play. I thought, I don't need to waste time doing things for myself out of enjoyment. I thought that I could be a great wife and a mom and a CEO all at the same time. And it was a lofty goal. And eventually, begrudgingly, I have to admit, it was not a realistic goal to have. In February 2023, I had reached a complete state of utter burnout. After nearly 4 years of trying to do it all on my own, why? I don't know. Maybe I thought I was trying to earn some sort of badge of honor for requesting and accepting the least amount of help possible. I was a natural at doing things the hard way, you see. And I turned myself into a martyr. I would keep a secret scoreboard of like, well, I'm doing this much. My husband's doing that much. Clearly I'm winning. Or comparing myself to other moms. Well, I'm doing this, this, and this, and they're only doing that. So therefore, hopefully that means I'm okay. It wasn't really about me saying, oh, those other moms are not as good as me. It was more like me trying to build up my own confidence. Like I had to work extra hard to be considered a good mom or a good wife or a good business owner. And I would overextend myself as a result of that. It was so unhealthy. And if any of you find yourself in that situation where you're trying to earn some sort of acceptance, you're trying to earn your place just to be on the same level as everyone else, forget about trying to exceed that, just know that I feel for you. It's very difficult to go through life and business with low confidence, with struggling to know who you are as a person, struggling to know why can't I accept help? Why can't I ask for help? And that's a big reason why I wanted to make this episode, because with me being Enneagram 3, type A, I could take the easy way out and I could just say, well, it's because of my personality type. But that's not an excuse. That might be an explanation, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stay that way, because if I keep living in my natural Enneagram 3 state or my natural type A state, I'm going to be very, very unhappy. And I was. I knew there had to be a better way to live. And by the grace of God, I was brought into the next chapter of my life, which is where I am now in my early 30s, being just so much more at peace, so much more calm, so much happier, and certain of who I am in Christ Jesus, certain of who I am as a businesswoman, certain of who I am as a mother, and knowing that I was meant for these roles. And while they will be challenging, God is going to continue equipping me with everything that I need to be what he has called me to be. And that's the thing. And I know that, you know, I've got a lot of viewers, listeners who perhaps don't share my faith in God. But for those of you that do, I'm sure that you've also come to the realization that God calls us to do things that are not easy. And we may not feel very well equipped, but if we take the next step and the next step, we will see that God's providence is always there and that he always gives us exactly what we need. And he has given me so much of what I need above and beyond what I could ever ask for that I wanted to share some of my lessons and my hacks in this episode in hopes that you can learn from it, shorten your own learning curve so you don't have to make the same mistakes I did, and be happier because of it. Not that being happy is the point of life. I do believe that being happy is a byproduct of obedience. So the more we are obedient to God, the more joy we will experience. Joy is far better than happiness, because happiness is fleeting You know, I had some chocolate after my lunch break today. That made me really happy, but it was fleeting. It's gone. And now I kind of want more. But joy is something that is always there, even on the bad days, even during the storm, not just at sunset, not just when the house is finally quiet. Joy is always there. And if you are experiencing a lack of confidence or a lack of joy or a lack of peace in your personal life or in your business, then this is the episode for you.
This episode of The Kate Show is brought to you by the Foundation website. Guys, if you need a new website for your business, but you can't afford a fully custom site, or you just don't have that much time to spare, you should check out the semi-custom website design service from The Socialite Agency for home pros who need more than just a DIY website template. How many times have you purchased a website template only to never use it or get stuck because you don't know how to complete it? You don't know how to connect all the things. And well, doesn't that end up being a waste of money? It does. That's why the Foundation website exists. If you want a professional to set up your website, handle your on-site SEO, optimize your images, and write your copy, and you want to maintain full control over that website moving forward, this website is for you. You'll be able to see what's included and what's not included by heading over to katethesocialite.com, and under the services page, click on semi-custom website design. Every great build begins with a solid foundation, and we've made it easy. You'll be able to learn exactly how the process works, why we have a 10 business day turnaround, and why we can keep the fees so darn affordable with no ongoing fees to us whatsoever. The cool thing is, and the thing that a lot of our clients appreciate, is that when you get our website, whether it's fully custom or semi-custom like this one, we are available to help make updates to your site. We only charge you when you actually need an update made, which means that months, years might go by. You don't have to pay us a dime. But when you're ready for help, we're there to help you. Head over to katethesocialite.com and look under the services tab to get the website your business deserves. This episode of The Kate Show is brought to you by Sidedoor. If I were an interior designer, I'd be using Sidedoor because it is a great income opportunity. Don't let anyone fool you. Passive income does not exist, but leveraged income totally does. With Sidedoor, you can sell trade-only products and make an average of 30% on the commission of each sale. That's incredible. Affiliate marketing gives you a measly 1, 2, maybe 5% if you're lucky, but Sidedoor gives you 30%. It's wholesale furnishings revolutionized for the digital age. You have access to hundreds of trade brands, and you can streamline purchasing by putting them on your website. And not only do you earn that amazing 30% commission, but you don't have to handle logistics, delivery, customer support issues. All you have to do is curate collections specific to the design style and the room that your client needs. You could design collections around a real life client, or based on the clients you've already worked with, you probably have a good idea of what they need. So go create a collection around the family room for the farmhouse aesthetic loving homeowner. That means that you're not going to fill it full of 15 different area rugs. You might choose 2 or 3 area rugs and a couple sofa options. The main point is all the pieces, accessories, and decor work together so that no matter what they purchase from your collection, they are able to have a beautifully designed space thanks to you and Sidedoor. To get access to Sidedoor, go to onsidedoor.com and sign up today. This episode of The Kate Show is brought to you by HoneyBook. I love using HoneyBook for my business because it helps create a streamlined workflow when people decide they want to work with me. Because, you know, there's one thing to do the right marketing to get the client. There's quite another to impress them all the way through the end of the project. And with HoneyBook, my clients are able to review and sign their proposal, make their payment, and then be told what to do next, all in one fell swoop. I've set up automations that remind them when they need to send me certain assets so that their website project can go off without a hitch. And if you've ever worked with us, you know that HoneyBook kept you on track, it kept us on track, and it was really easy to use. If you're interested in using HoneyBook for your business, go to honeybook.com and use the code SOCIALITE at checkout for 50% off your first year.
So let's dive right into the hacks and tips I have on the personal side and the business side of your life. If you've been listening to this podcast for the last few months, then you know about my journey from chronic paranoia about my business and all the other things to being completely at peace. It's a really exciting confidence-building adventure that God has taken me on. And when I started sharing it with you guys, I got so many DMs and emails and really just like people telling me, oh my goodness, I needed to hear that. I needed to be reminded that I do not control all things, but I am called to control some things, and worrying was never part of my job description. And my primary issues, as I alluded to in the intro, were so deeply rooted in a lack of confidence, but I realized later it wasn't really that I had a lack of self-confidence, it's that I had a lack of God confidence. And I was also setting ridiculously high expectations for myself, and I was meeting those expectations in the most difficult way possible, all of which led to an internal crumbling of my soul, which, okay, that's dramatic, but hopefully you get the idea. So I've broken down everything, and I'm reading directly from my screen here because I want to make sure I get this right for you guys. But we're going to start with the personal side of things. So here are 5 ways that I have improved my life as a wife and a mother. Number 1, I started simplifying my responsibilities. Now, for example, I still do all the cooking at my house. I will always do all the cooking, and I'm fine with that. I'm pretty particular about what we eat. I don't mind. And my belief is that food is medicine or poison, and that definitely affects how I plan our meals. Now, since I'm typically allergic to gluten and dairy and eggs, unless I'm pregnant or breastfeeding, and since our 4-year-old daughter, we've recently found out she can't have gluten either, I've really just been focused on getting back to eating real, unprocessed foods as much as possible. And that has naturally simplified our meals, which is a good thing since 80% of our meals are homemade. You know, the frustrating thing about food quality here in the U.S. is that even the organic products that I was buying tended to be full of inflammatory, illness-provoking ingredients like seed oils. Organic kids' snacks, by the way, are so full of these terrible things. They're like the worst offenders, and I'm still kind of horrified. I have to be so careful how much of that stuff I give to my kids, which can be tricky when it comes to packing school lunches, honestly. Gluten, soybean oil, sunflower oil, food dyes, like all these things cause brain inflammation and overall body unwellness, and we definitely have experienced that firsthand, mainly myself and my daughter. So eliminating gluten, trying to eliminate the seed oils as much as possible, has left my family with nothing to eat but real food. Amazing. We can eat real food. And I actually feel relieved and grateful for it because it has definitely simplified the meal planning. Now our dinners consist of a meat, a sauteed or fresh vegetable, and maybe if we're extra hungry, some form of potato or gluten-free pasta or organic rice. Typically, though, just a meat and a vegetable are plenty for us. And I don't have to spend an hour planning meals every week, and I don't have to spend more than 30 to 45 minutes in the kitchen every night making meals. Some of you might be like, that's still way too long. It is kind of a lot, especially when you add up like how many hours I'm spending in the kitchen every week. However, that is a responsibility that I've chosen not to outsource or delegate. You, on the other hand, might want to outsource or delegate that, or maybe your spouse cooks or something like that. But for me, I had to get clear on what responsibilities do I have, which one can I definitely hand off to someone else, like maybe letting my husband, that's a terrible way to say it, but you know what I mean? Letting my husband help more because he's extremely helpful. He wants to be supportive. And how can I make my non-negotiable responsibilities simpler? My business and life coach always says, how can we make this simple, doable, and fun? I haven't quite made cooking fun, but I throw on a good podcast and I get it done. And I do make it simple and doable. So my whole point behind this tip is when you're faced with multiple ways of doing a task, making it super complicated, you know, really gourmet meals, for example, the simplest choice is often the best choice. Back to basics. You know, I'm from the Midwest. I live in the Midwest. I will probably always live in the Midwest, and we are very much meat and potatoes. And I like that because it's the down-to-earth, direct nature that I prefer to live in. And that is, I'm not going to be spending a lot of time or money, if I can help it, on meal ingredients. I'm going to keep it simple because that's what's best for my family. And it's also good as on the part of a cook, quite honestly. The second thing that I've done to really improve my life on the personal side of things is letting go of my pride. And this directly relates to marriage. So shout out to all the married ladies who are listening and watching. The problem with being married is that it's easier for me to tell my husband what to do, and it's not that easy for me to mind my own business. I like to call it being helpful or taking charge, but I realized it's actually just super controlling. I mean, like, in business, sometimes I have to be more in my, what they call it, the masculine, where I'm the go-getter. I tell people what to do, and this is how we're going to do it no matter what. That does not work in marriage, okay? I was not made to be a man. I was made to be a woman. And I also mistakenly thought that my way of doing things was always better, and that if my husband would just start listening to me, things would be amazing. But I stand corrected, because in February 2022, so about a year before my big breakdown, I realized there was no way our marriage would survive if I kept acting like that. The emotional breakdown that this created was a miracle wrapped in painful packaging. You see, I didn't grow up witnessing what a healthy marriage looks like. In fact, I would have been a third generation divorcee. I didn't know how to create the marriage that I wanted. I didn't know how to be happy. Counseling wasn't helpful. Members of a marriage Facebook group told me to give up, which shocked me because I knew I had something too special to throw away. And finally, another married woman said to me, "Hey, have you ever read the book The Empowered Wife by Laura Doyle?" And I hadn't, but that changed quickly. And that book changed me, quite honestly. God definitely used that as a tool to refine my character and to give me some much needed relationship skills. And I'm not going to do the book justice by trying to summarize it on this podcast, but just know this. If you're struggling as a woman in a long-term relationship, and buy that book right now, The Empowered Wife by Laura Doyle. Go get it right now. It's a difficult read because, at least for me, I saw myself on every page. It was not flattering, but it was compassionate. I saw what I'd been doing wrong, and for the first time ever, I knew what I could do to make it better, which was awesome because I had hope. The issue that I've had in the past with different counselors or therapists or marriage books or marriage articles online is that they'll give you esoteric ideas on what to do, but they won't actually say, do this X, Y, and Z. Or when he does this, do that. Or when he does this, he could actually mean this, and here's how you figure it out. I mean, it gave me the skill set I needed, and it actually really improved my confidence at the same time, because I realized I didn't have to be all up in his business. He's a grown man. He can do his own thing, his way of parenting, his way of being a homeowner, his way of being a business owner is different from mine. And that doesn't make it wrong. And it doesn't mean I have to give my commentary all the time. Now, my husband does love my input. He asks me all the time for my opinions, and we make decisions together. We often get decision fatigue because we're just so used to, like, every decision we make, we're making it together. But that is how we like it. You know, we've been married for a decade now and it works well. But I am just so grateful that I found this book, that it made such a difference for me. And I can truly say that I am happily married and that I love my husband even more than I did when I said I do. Not a lot of people can say that. And looking back on the history of divorce through my own family, I mean, people stay married, but they're not happy. And again, being happy is not the reason why we're alive, but being in a healthy marriage changes everything. It changes friendships, family legacy. It impacts our children. And I'm so grateful that now my son and daughter get to see what it looks like to have a mom and dad who truly love each other, who are head over heels for each other, still bicker sometimes, but you know, we show them what that conflict resolution looks like so that when they get married someday and they have their first big argument, they're not like, oh no, what is this? Did I marry the wrong person? I never saw my mom and dad fight. No, there has to be a realistic component there. Because I have been so worried up to that point of like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do if my kids see me arguing with my husband and I don't even know how to handle myself because I've, you know, had a lot of bad examples, but then also I'm just a flawed human being too. I mean, I could have grown up in like under a really healthy marriage umbrella and still struggled in marriage because I am my own person and we can't blame our current status on what happened to us as children. Again, it can be an explanation as to why we might have weaknesses or strengths in certain areas, but that doesn't negate our own responsibility for our own lives and our own relationships. So all that to say, go get The Empowered Wife by Laura Doyle. She also has a podcast also called The Empowered Wife, and I highly recommend you listen to that. I signed up for her relationship coaching for a few months. It's group coaching. It was really cool. And I instantly felt such kinship with other women on the group calls. There were usually like 40 to 75 women on each call. We were all there for the purpose of improving or saving our marriages. I mean, some of those women were like, yeah, my husband is still living with the other woman. But, you know, here's how we're slowly coming back together. I was never to that point, never, ever. And I was in awe of how much dedication these women had to their marriages. Because the whole point of the Empowered Wife brand is to end world divorce. That's a really lofty goal. But with so many marriages today ending in divorce, or so many people choosing to never even get married, it's a big deal. Marriage is something that was created by God between a man and a woman. And it has power, and it's the foundation of society, of any good, healthy, long-lasting society, where there is a mother and a father raising children. Those children grow up to be so much more capable, so much healthier, because that is how the family unit is supposed to operate. So that's why I reject anything that messes with that family unit, and I reject everything that was trying to break apart my family. And admittedly, through me, through my pride. So as women, we have the power to destroy our families and we have the power to keep them together. We have the power to make them wonderful experiences. And that's why I liked that book, The Empowered Wife, because it wasn't about being the victim. It wasn't about being reactionary. It was about minding my own side of the street, or as they say in the book, staying on your own paper, because that makes everything better. And it allows our husbands to become the good men that we knew they were from the beginning. Otherwise, why would we have married them? All right, so I will say no more on that topic.
This episode is brought to you by the Window Coverings Association of America. Are you an interior designer, a decorator, a student, a workroom, an installer, or a window treatment vendor? The WCAA was meant for you. If you're looking for community rather than competition, business guidance, real growth strategies instead of just good ideas, and introductions to all the right people, you need the WCAA. Their mission is to provide education, networking, a code of ethics, and increased exposure for this unique industry. Learn everything from the latest window treatment production techniques to business profit tips, marketing, and so much more, all from the comfort of your laptop. Learn and grow your business right where you are by connecting with your local WCAA chapter. Monthly meetings, educational opportunities, and fun activities abound within the organization. Lastly, you can also save money with vendor discounts. You can save on items and services your business is already buying through their industry partner relationships. Everything from coaching and marketing to well-known window treatment brands and more are available. But hey, here's the real question. Do you need more leads? As a WCAA member, your business will be listed in their homeowner-facing directory of home industry professionals, helping you connect with more of the right clients. Do you need to hire or be hired? As a member of the WCAA, you'll have access to a job board that is exclusive to the design and window treatment industry, perfect for finding or filling your next role. Don't wait. Go to wcaa.org and apply to join. With them, you're never in business alone.
Number three, the third way that I have improved my life as a mom, as an entrepreneur as well, honestly, is saying no to overly busy schedules. So my kids have reached the age where schedules have the opportunity to get overly packed. It happened a lot sooner than I thought it would. My kids are almost 2 and almost 5. As a mom, I have been so tempted to book them for way too many activities. I feared that if my kids aren't in every activity available to them, it means I'm somehow sheltering them or keeping them from future opportunities. But in reality, overbooking them would just be teaching them to be busy. And I don't want to teach my kids to be busy. I want to teach them to be intentional and to be good managers of their time. I don't want a busy life for my family. I want an intentional life, one that doesn't get railroaded by multiple sports schedules or overextended due to too much volunteering. My husband and I are watching our kids develop interests in various subjects. And so far, my 4-year-old has taken ballet and gymnastics, and both kids are taking swim lessons. That's more of a safety issue, quite honestly. But here's the catch. We book them for only one activity at a time. When their swim session ends for the summer, I might put them in gymnastics, or we might just take summer off entirely and just enjoy the slow summer days. I have definitely in the past fallen for the lie that busy means living a full, well-lived life. And that's not true. And I'm grateful to have learned that lesson before my kids get too old, before I've been a parent for too long. Busyness isn't the goal. Busy is a symptom of misplaced priorities and poor time management, and perhaps the issue of saying yes to too many things. Now, along that same line, number four is making my expectations more realistic. This has been a tough one for me, and I expected to be the mom who was all about hands-on crafts and planning super cute birthday parties, but I'm actually the mom who reads books to her kids and plays hide-and-go-seek with them, and is teaching them to love podcasts more than screen time, and who invites them to do Zumba or Pilates because it's fun. It's fun for the kids, although doing Pilates with little kids is almost impossible, just FYI, because anytime I'm on the floor, they're just crawling all over me. But, you know, it's still fun. And I enjoy doing these things and knowing, finally, that I don't have to have a whole curriculum of crafty activities or help them work on, really, like, I'm not homeschooling, so I don't necessarily have to work every single day on, let's do some homework around numbers, let's do some homework around letters. But I do see it naturally occurring. My daughter's very interested in writing and reading, and she can already do a little bit of both. She's in 4K right now. And she'll be like, hey, mom, how do you spell such and such? And I'll tell her, so she'll write it down. And she's starting to come back and say, oh, hey, this says so on. And I'm like, yes, it does. Very good. It's really exciting to see that. But I was able to enjoy that because I wasn't putting pressure on myself to be like, oh, I have to have an established plan here. But really, it just comes down to spending intentional time with my kids. There's no phone. There's no TV. And even if it's just for a few minutes at a time, I see the difference that it makes in my kids. So if you're feeling stretched, and you're like, I feel like I'm not spending enough time with my kids, maybe you just need to focus on the quality time you're spending with them, not so much the quantity of time. And also, I've had to reduce my expectations around some other things. Let me give you some context here. So I grew up being homeschooled, making homemade bread. We would never buy bread. Growing a huge vegetable garden, preserving food, so freezing, canning, whatever. Hanging clothes out on the clothesline. It's kind of the coveted homesteading lifestyle that's very viral right now. But I kind of stepped away from that to a point because I realized it wasn't practical for me. I don't have a garden. We live next to the woods, so the deer just come and eat everything. We have very sandy soil, so I can't grow a lot of vegetables without tons of effort, which frankly, I just don't want to put in. I don't want to put in the effort. I'm honest here. We do bake. I cook from scratch. We play outside, but I'm not a stay-at-home mom. I'm a work-at-home mom. I mean, I'm a mom who can work anywhere. So running this business takes the place of homesteading. And I had a ton of guilt in the beginning over sending my kids to any sort of daycare. I've since gotten over that because I realized, you know, finding the right place for them would actually be good for them so they can be around other kids. And I'm just changing my expectations, maybe not lowering my standards, but realizing that the standard I always knew wasn't necessarily the best standard for everyone. For some people, that homesteading lifestyle is perfect, and for other people, it's simply not a good fit. The final thing I did in the personal side of my life, the improvements that I've made, is not letting my blessings become burdens. So recently, my mom asked me how I thought I'd changed since becoming a mom. And I became a mom almost 5 years ago. And I looked her straight in the eye and I said, well, I'm a lot closer to a nervous breakdown now than I was then. And she and my grandma just started laughing because every mom gets it. In our situation, we have a really nice brand new school just a few miles away from us. It would be like a 5-minute drive. We could send our daughter there. But we knew early on that we wanted to send our kids to a school that would teach them about God so that they get that at home and they get that at school. We wanted to be very careful about the culture that we put our children into because that does directly impact how they turn out, the decisions they make, their likelihood of success, like all these different things. So we send our kids to a private Lutheran school. It's like a 25-minute drive one way. So most of the parents who take their kids to this school are driving about the same distance. There is a level of dedication here where it's like, this is a lot of mileage on the vehicle. Thank God we live by the interstate so we can hop on that and go. Otherwise, it would take even longer to get there. But we have to set aside time and intention and finances to send our kids to a private school because that is what we want for them. We have the big picture in mind versus sending them to the free, very nice, new public school that's just 5 minutes away. And some people look at that and they've said to me, like, Kate, why wouldn't you send your kids to the closer school? That doesn't make sense. But it does in light of the intention that we've set for our family. So sometimes I am tempted to look at that as a burden, like, oh, we have to drive so far. But then I think, isn't it a blessing that this school exists and that we were able to get our kids in there? Isn't it a blessing that we have reliable vehicles and that we live near the interstate and we can get there quickly? Yeah, that is all a blessing. So it's really just about perspective. Now, switching gears on the business side, these are a lot of like money-saving things that I'm going to tell you about, and you need to take note. So if you're trying to cut costs in your business right now, there are some good ways to do that. So let's get right into it. Number one, I use unconventional health insurance. My husband and I are on payroll and we can't necessarily use regular health insurance unless we want to pay an arm and a leg for it, which I do not want to. So instead of going through that health insurance nightmare, we decided to opt for a different type of health insurance altogether. And the alternative I found is called Crowd Health. They're not a sponsor, not yet. And my family of four pays around $700 a month total for healthcare. That's it. There are no medical bill limits. They have an app that lets me upload medical bills, check the status of payouts or reimbursements, book a virtual appointment with the doctor. There's no network, so I can go wherever I want to. The Crowd Health team is responsive and personable. It's like they actually want to help. It's actually amazing. My family is healthy and we don't run to the doctor all that often. So it just made sense for us. And plus, if anything, God forbid, tragic were to happen, they do cover medical costs, like major ones, as well as minor ones. And I've already sent them a few bills and they've already reimbursed me for them. It's amazing. Now, you do not have to pay your bills in advance. You can send them the bill and they'll negotiate a rate with your hospital or your provider, whatever that is, and then they'll pay the bill from there. But all my bills have been so small that I'm just like, whatever, I'll pay cash now. And then they just, Crowd Health reimburses me. And they're so quick to reimburse me. I've had other health insurance coverage like Liberty Health Share. I really liked Liberty Health Share. They're a lot like MediShare, which is a lot like Samaritan something. I can't think of the name of it right now. You guys know what I'm talking about. But they would take forever to reimburse me. I'm actually still waiting for a reimbursement from Liberty HealthShare. It's been 2.5 years. And according to the terms of my contract with them, they owe me over $2,000. So I'm like so bummed that it didn't work. But with CrowdHealth, they're already paying me out. So it's amazing. If you would like to check them out, go to joincrowdhealth.com. And again, they are not a sponsor, but I do highly recommend them. The other thing that I would like you to consider if you're looking to cut costs and just be wise with your money is switching to a different cell phone provider. So for the longest time, I had US Cellular, which is pretty common here in the Midwest, but US Cellular, AT&T, Verizon, they're not cheap. And they're actually, like, AT&T and Verizon especially are just shockingly, ridiculously expensive. But then I discovered Patriot Mobile, and currently negotiating a deal with them. So that's going to be exciting. But my husband and I switched to Patriot Mobile for our business lines. We pay less than $70 a month total for our two phones with plenty of data. We're not skimping on the data plans. And it's amazing because it uses the Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint networks. So there's a huge coverage. Their coverage map is pretty much the entire continental US. And the cost savings have been amazing. And I love knowing that I'm supporting Patriot Mobile because their core belief is in Jesus. Yeah, I know. It's amazing. There are a lot of companies out there who have an agenda, and it's not necessarily one that aligns with our best interests, but Patriot Mobile is completely different, and it's pretty amazing. So they're in business to spread the message of Jesus, not necessarily to sell cell phone plans. That said, you can save a ton of money. You can keep your existing phone number. You can bring your current phone most of the time. You can also get a new phone from them. I brought over my existing phone and my existing phone number. My husband brought over his phone number but got a new phone. It was so easy. I remember telling my next door neighbor about it, and literally the next day, he was like, yeah, so I signed up, me and my wife, for Patriot Mobile. And I was like, oh, wow, really? He's like, yeah, our bill was like cut in half, so why wouldn't I? And I was like, yeah, that's a great point. Why wouldn't you? So if you guys are interested in checking it out, I'm not saying it's going to be cutting your bill in half. It depends on your data plan needs and a whole lot of other things, but it's worth a checkout. So go to patriotmobile.com. to see if they have the coverage and the plans that would be a good fit for you. All right, so the third thing that I've done to really improve and simplify my business is narrowing my team's focus. When I hired my core team members, I gave each of them a myriad of responsibilities due to pure necessity. And as time passed and my agency has entered a new era of growth, I've been able to narrow down the responsibilities of each woman on my team. One does all the client support and a small amount of editing. My other lady does all the back-end content production. And then I do all the sales and marketing. Last but not least, my husband holds the position of CFO and manages the money beautifully because he truly enjoys it. We have our roles. Everyone has their specialty. And I try to be intentional about making sure the people on my team actually enjoy what they're doing and they're good at it. To quote Jim Collins from his book, Good to Great, if we get the right people on the bus, the right people in the right seats, and the wrong people off the bus, then we'll figure out how to take it someplace great. And that is so true. For me, this means keeping my core team happy and doing whatever I can to help them avoid too much multitasking. When their roles are streamlined, so is my entire agency. All right, the fourth thing I have for you is more of a hack, and that is planning time to think. How many of us do that? I didn't do it for the longest time. This is something new for me. I plan time to think. As a business owner and CEO, I have the wonderful freedom to act on just about any business idea that pops into my head, but that's not always wise. I've realized the importance of making time to fully explore new ideas before pulling in my team or announcing it to anyone. I test the idea. I brainstorm all the drawbacks and potential pitfalls that I can think of. I create a workflow as though I were implementing the idea, and then I test that implementation. And I've learned that all the planning and brainstorming are no replacement for that testing. I've discarded many seemingly good business ideas because they failed during testing, which to me is still a win because it means I just saved myself a lot of time and effort. If you are a business owner, do yourself a favor and don't be reactionary to good ideas, even if the ideas are your own. Put the idea to the test internally, and if successful, try it with one or two clients. If it's still successful, work out the kinks and offer it to some more people. And once it passes that final test, make it a long-standing part of your business, because that is called being intentional. All right, so the fifth thing, and this is something that is, it was not fun, but it's worth it, and I would do it again, is not taking no for an answer. And this has to do with finances, although it could apply to pretty much anything in your business that you really want to fix or take charge of. For me, it's transaction fees. I run an online business. There's no way for people to pay me without there being some sort of transaction fee most of the time. So transaction fees are just the cost of doing business. I get that. But sometimes those added fees get out of hand. When one of my core online providers hiked their transaction fee from 1% to 5%, I immediately contacted them to request a lower rate because 5%, I mean, literally paying five times more and getting nothing back as a result. They were able to lower my rate to 3% when I reached out to them because they were like, okay, well, I guess you have the volume. So yes, we can lower it from 5% to 3%. And that was okay temporarily. But as we reviewed financial reports later, my CFO, who as a reminder is also my husband, was like, this is still not fantastic. This is not what we want to do. So I reached out to that provider again and I was like, is there anything else you can offer us? And they were like, no, like immediate shutdown. And I was like, okay, I guess I have to start looking for a different provider. But it turns out I couldn't find any other provider that did exactly what they do. And I started to feel a little bit trapped. So I did what CEOs do and I contacted them again. And I said, look, I'm a longtime user of your platform, buddy. And I think you guys are great. However, this added transaction fee is even more than what I'm already paying Stripe. And at this point, you're punishing me for being profitable. That's the IRS's job, not yours. And that little quip hit home with them. And I soon got an email from the co-founder of the platform. And a short while later, we negotiated a deal that got me back to that 1% transaction fee. And if I hadn't understood my financials, if I hadn't been working with a CFO, a CPA, and a bookkeeper to track everything, I would have let that rate height slip by unnoticed and then wondered later, why is my bottom line suffering? And I'm so glad that I have these people in place and that I'm not scared of the numbers in my business anymore. Knowing the nitty-gritty of my business finances is not fun, it's not sexy, but it's necessary. And taking no for an answer is completely unnecessary. So don't be afraid to negotiate. That's really what I'm saying here. Now, if you're like, okay, thanks for the life hacks that I didn't ask for. Thanks for the business hacks. Might look into some of those. But what I really need help with is marketing. You're still in the right place for that. Because here at the Socialite Agency, we help interior designers, professional organizers, home stagers, and window treatment professionals become more confident in their marketing, become more consistent, and have brand messaging that actually speaks to their unique ideal client, instead of having the disjointed dissonance that often comes with trying to piecemeal marketing or DIY it when really you're just too focused on other things in your business. And I get it. As you've seen today, running a business is kind of a lot. So if you need a new website, if you need help with email marketing, blogging, if you need a sales funnel in place, if you need help with your brand messaging or strategy, that is what we do. You can head over to katethesocialite.com to book a one-on-one call with me, get a complimentary marketing audit, opt into some of my freebies. I've got a marketing content calendar that might be helpful to you. Go check that out at katethesocialite.com. And until next time, guys, keep your marketing simple, your message clear, and I will talk to you soon.